All right, here we go. So I have been working with the March of Dimes for about 3.5 years, and this research was developed as part of our comprehensive educational campaign with the Latino community. To let you know just a few things about the North Carolina Folic Acid Council, our goal is to increase multivitamin consumption with all women of childbearing age to prevent neural tube defect-affected pregnancies. We have many different campaign elements across the state, both in English and Spanish, and the main reason to see this is to kind of see where we're coming from. We are a nonprofit organization under the fiscal responsibility of the March of Dimes. And then you might say, well, why are we focusing on Hispanics if you're not familiar with NTD research? Hispanics have double the rate of, are twice as likely as other races and ethnicities to have a baby born with spina bifida or another neural tube defect. Even though we've had a huge decline in North Carolina, 43%, they're still twice as likely as other races and ethnicities. And this is not only true in North Carolina, but throughout the United States. So what we did was we did a quasi-random design. We had 6 intervention counties and 6 comparison counties. North Carolina is composed of 100 different counties. We excluded a number of counties based on previous exposure and size. Then we looked at stratifying them into urban and rural, using the census definitions for rural and urban. Finally, we then stratified them into comparison and intervention counties, and they were based on size. So they were paired on size of each of the counties. We used the 2000 census data, and we looked at Spanish-speaking foreign-born women. We were left with 6 rural counties and 6 urban counties. 3 of the rural and 3 of the urban counties received the intervention, which was healthcare provider workshops, lay health educator programs, where we actually conducted 3 different lay health educator programs in the 6 counties, training somewhere between 25 and 35 different women in each county. They worked with us providing education to their social networks over a 3-month period. They were stipend, and some of them did repeat the program. They educated in 2 years in the neighborhood of about 4,500 women door-to-door. The third component of our campaign was a media campaign. It was television, radio, and newspaper, all Spanish language. The comparison counties, because we are in public health, had to get something, so we decided they were going to get just media. One of the most important things in North Carolina is our media is very slice and dice. If you live in one county, you might get newspaper, and if you live in another county, you might get radio and TV. We have 1 Spanish language television station. We have 2 FM radio stations and a handful of AM stations. So depending on where you live and the size of your community is really going to depend on what you get. So we did have to use all 3 medias. We had a couple of different hypotheses. First was we said that the intervention counties who are receiving all 3 components will have greater awareness of multivitamins, folic acid, or birth defect than compared to the comparison counties. And we also thought that women 18 to 35, which was our target audience, would have be more likely to consume a multivitamin at least 5 days a week. So what did we do? We targeted Spanish-speaking Hispanic women. Our Spanish-speaking population in North Carolina is mainly Mexican. It is first generation, and the majority do not speak English. It's very different than California and some of the other states. We focused on women 18 to 34. That was decided upon within focus groups with both the target audience and healthcare providers. They had to live in one of our 12 counties, so we did visit all 12 counties. And then for the post-test survey in 2008, they had to have resided in the state since May of 2006. They had to have the potential to be exposed to the campaign. We conducted 2 surveys. The first one was in January to March of 2006. We collected over 1,200 surveys, but we were able to analyze 896, about 81%. We just finished our second data collection. We collected over 1,500 surveys, and we analyzed 1,144. Our survey is the first of its kind in North Carolina and very, very new, I think, throughout the state. It was a face-to-face oral survey with Spanish-speaking data collectors in public places. So we did not use a telephone. We did not send out mail surveyed. We went to public places, Walmarts, Targets, tiendas, restaurants, parks, wherever they would let us go. Some places they wouldn't let us go. We trained data collectors in a 2-day training. We trained Spanish-speaking native data collectors from all over the Americas. And we sent them out to these different places with clipboards and IRB-approved material so that they could go and interview the women. The interviews took about 15 minutes, and they received a free bag of goodies. And in 2008, they actually received a bottle of vitamins. So what did we find in 08 compared to 06? We found that our age distribution was very similar, our education was similar. What was interesting was that the country of origin is significantly different. We're finding many more immigrants coming from Central and South America than we did in 06. We also found that people significantly were in the United States for a longer period of time. This is something you would expect. You would expect that if they were here 2 years ago, that you're going to see your significant level go up. When we stratified the results by intervention and comparison, again, these results were very similar. There was almost no difference between the comparison counties and the intervention counties as far as these demographics. However, we did find that in 2008, we had significantly less percentages of our women that had been previously pregnant. So there's less of them that we interviewed that had been pregnant. That was also significant among the comparison in the intervention counties. The intervention counties were much more likely to have previously been pregnant than the comparison counties. Significantly less likely to currently be pregnant and significantly less likely to be planning or trying. Among comparison and intervention counties, there was no significance in the last two. We found in 2008, we couldn't use this question from 2006, so in 2008, only 21% of our non-pregnant women of childbearing, well, our pregnant women of, our Hispanic women in the survey could identify the correct amount of folic acid. Whether that's relevant or not to them taking a folic acid supplement or multivitamin with folic acid, we're not sure. But when we stratified this between intervention and comparison, our comparison, although not significant, were much more likely to know how much folic acid was needed every day. So that's not really what we expected. This slide is a little bit busy, but what you can see on the left is 2006 to 2008 multivitamin use among our women 18 to 34. You can see that there's no significant change in the 2 years of the intervention looking at the total respondents. Remember, we're looking at 896 and 1144 weighted data. However, when you look at the comparison in the intervention, you do see a significant change in who's taking a multivitamin. So the significant change is actually within the comparison community, not the intervention community. Remember, the comparison community only received a media campaign that was directed by us. This was very, very different than what we had expected. Our rates of multivitamin consumption are similar to other data nationally and statewide data. It's very hard to compare all the different data mechanisms for collecting data about, do you take a multivitamin 5 days a week, do you take it daily? Because so many of the times they're only speaking with English-speaking Hispanics, which are very different than Spanish-speaking Hispanics, especially in North Carolina. It's also very hard to compare because the questions are asked differently, and this is the only study in North Carolina that's been done face-to-face. So that is a positive as well as a limitation. These are significant changes as to why women told us they did consume a multivitamin. When we saw I am pregnant, we were very excited. The medical reasons gives me energy, but these were all significant changes. And then we said, well, why didn't you consume a multivitamin? They are not necessary, and I forget, continue to be huge barriers in multivitamin consumption. Next, we talked about knowledge. We asked in open-ended questions what people had read, seen, or heard about one of the following in three separate questions. Very good knowledge. We've jumped from 64% to 73% significance, as well as in multivitamins and folic acid. However, our birth defect knowledge did not increase significantly. If you look at the intervention and the comparison, although it's not significant, you can see that in the in all of the intervention counties, knowledge is greater. And then we ask people what they know. I guess the most important thing here is that more people were able to say that multivitamins and folic acid had something to do with folic acid, brain, or spine development, which is what we want. In the world of public health, all we hear about is, oh, that's that vitamin that people take when they're pregnant. Well, we don't want people to say that. We want people to say, oh, I've been taking that since my menstruation started or since I got my period, because 50% of pregnancies are unplanned. And if we wait for women to start taking this folic acid for when they go to the doctor, we've missed the boat on preventing a neural tube defect pregnancy. This was a series of true-false questions, and there's a lot of controversy about whether a true-false question works, especially with the Hispanic community. And what we found here was that there were significant changes in knowledge and myths from 06 to 08. More women knew that it was false to take a multivitamin with a prescription. The other thing that we found, which is awfully surprising, is in 2008, we asked women where they got their information. So it was an open-ended question, and it said, where have you received your information about multivitamins, folic acid, or birth defects? Women in the comparison counties were less likely to receive their information from healthcare providers, health departments, families, and friends, which means that the lay health educator programs and the healthcare provider education provided significant impact in knowledge, where people were getting that information, where our Hispanic community was getting that information. What's surprising is that women in the comparison communities were much more likely to get their information from radio and newspaper, but not television. So does that mean that our television didn't reach the women in the Hispanic community in those particular areas? Again, remember I said that it's kind of a slice and dice approach to media in North Carolina. This was really surprising for us. We did not think that radio and newspaper were going to have the impact that they did. And although television's not significant, it is approaching significance with 0.10, because we use 0.05 as our significant level. It also did not as strongly, we really thought we'd have more impact with the healthcare providers and the lay health educators. Our lay health educators were members of the community. They educated at least 50 women in small groups. What we figured out and what we're looking at is that basically the healthcare providers and the lay health educators are providing knowledge. They're creating impact as far as knowledge. They're making an impact in knowledge. They're changing people's knowledge, but they're not necessarily changing people's behavior. Are the two related? And that's one of the things that we don't know. After the intervention, these are some of the impacts. There was significant increase in the knowledge of multivitamins and folic acid, but not birth defects among the total respondents, however, not among the intervention in the comparison counties. We knew in 2006 that birth defect knowledge was 79%. That's pretty amazing, but we were very excited to know that multivitamin and folic acid knowledge had increased. We also saw significant changes from 06 to 08 as to when the best time to start taking a multivitamin was, that a prescription was not necessary, and that multivitamins would not increase your appetite. So many, many Hispanic women have the belief that if I take a vitamin, I'm going to get fat, or it's going to make me hungry. And so we've really seen a decrease, a significant decrease, in the women that believe that. And we have to hope that hopefully our health educators, our media campaign, and our healthcare providers are helping with that. Only a fifth of our Hispanic women knew the amount of folic acid to take. I guess I could ask you, right? And see how many of you know. After the intervention, there was also not a significant amount of change in the consumption of multivitamins among total respondents, but there was within the comparison counties. Very, very different than what we hypothesized. We really thought that the multi-prong approach would create a positive behavior change in the consumption of multivitamins. Barriers continue to be forgetfulness, believing it's only for those planning a pregnancy, and the belief that it's not necessary if I get enough folic acid in my diet. We did find that there were significant differences in where women in the intervention and the comparison counties went for information. So what does this mean? It means we need to spend some more time with our data. I will say that our data was finally collected at the end of June, and we spent the last 3 months analyzing it. And so we are going to be spending some more time with our data trying to figure out what else we need to control for. Do we need to control for pregnancy status? Do we need to control for time in the United States? Do we need to control for education? We've done some preliminary logistic regressions, but we need to spend a bit more time. We know that a paid media campaign can increase knowledge. We know that a paid media campaign can increase consumption. What we're not sure about is how effective a lay health educator program is and how effective our healthcare provider education is. There's also a lot of cross-contamination within the comparison counties and the intervention counties. We can't go to the comparison counties and say, hey, stop doing what you're doing. Don't educate anybody. Don't give out any vitamins because you're going to mess up our research. That's not what community-based research is all about. So many, three out of our six comparison counties had very, very active campaigns with the Hispanic community, either through a local CBO or through their health department. And we can't control for that, but we do know that that existed. So could that have impacted that multivitamin consumption of the women? And we also have some concerns about maybe our lay health educator program wasn't big enough. If we only did it in six counties out of 100, maybe the 4,500 women that they impacted were not the 4,500 people that we encountered on the street. Because remember, it's a random survey. We didn't go to the same people from 06 to 08. So we need to spend more time with it. And it's only been 2 years. But I think the most important thing for us is that knowledge is increasing, behavior is increasing. And what has worked is definitely our media campaign, both radio, TV, and newspaper, which is a paid campaign. Our ads are cause and effect. They show a child with spina bifida, who is a gorgeous child with his walker and his family. They have the voice of a mother who has a child with spina bifida speaking to you. So really, I think looking at all three of those things together, we will continue to increase our behavior change in all of the counties. And if we look at this 2 years from now, I think that we'll see a bigger change in multivitamin consumption behavior. Thank you. Oh, and these are my colleagues. Amy Malenix is actually here, and Lei Zhang actually did all of our analysis, and actually one of our very first graduate students who helped to design the study is here. So we're all available for questions.